Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to We Say Wednesday, kids.
Welcome, guys.
Bell Star and Cannabis Kid here.
Missed you guys the last 2 weeks.
You have been away from us.
Yes.
Where have you been? Where have you been?
Hanging out in New Mexico.
What are you doing in New Mexico?
Visiting my partner's family. We were down there for the holidays. Hung out in a little town called Alamogordo.
Ooh.
Little town next to the White Sand Missile Base, Holloman Air Force Base. Yeah.
Sounds like a lovely space to be in. Well, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. We say Wednesday.
We missed you. We say Wednesday is Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bell Star, here, and the Cannabis Kid. Back at home. Woo!
We will have interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news, and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
Right. Very large world.
Call in. Questions can come to us.
What's that number? Where do they call? Who do they tell their friends to call?
646-915-8421. You can email, blog your questions to either
thctucson at gmail.com.
And either of those questions can be directed towards Belle or me.
Or our fantastic guest tonight. We've had a whirlwind of guest changes, but we have Kimberly Haslett here of SWAPA and the whole entire cannabis community.
She's got a lot to talk about.
She's involved
talking to
everywhere.
Her a little bit before the show. And
yeah.
She says, I'm not an expert. And I said, well, neither am I. And I was like, well, I think we're the best ones in this room to talk about cannabis and where it's going with the legal side of it. She's hearing from both sides, has a lot of important information for us.
Yeah, a lot.
Involving some very surprising news I heard, which kind of put me a little bit back.
Oh.
I started doing a little bit of history on what she was talking to me about. And so it's kind of scary if we don't start getting out there and destigmatizing this and telling our family and friends. You know, if you've been a smoker and you've self-medicated your whole life, and if this what makes you feel good, it's a plant.
It's a plant, it's a medicine, and it's something that everybody needs to get more information on, which is why we are here.
Mm-hmm.
And we would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center for hosting this special show, along with certifications. And classes, lectures, demonstrations. This weekend there is a hash-making demonstration. That's going to be fun. You'll find medication and all things educational related to medical cannabis. TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com. Check it out. It's awesome. Full of information. And again, thanks to Tumbleweeds for having us here. Let's see. We want to do a couple shout-outs, some commercials, if you will. We would like to give a great thanks to everybody that helps make this happen at the Grower's House, because without their knowledge, without their products, without their opinions, advice maybe even, we wouldn't know how to grow, folks. So if you live in the Tucson area or if you shop for hydroponics online, you can visit Grower's House at 227 East Valencia. They're around the back. When you go cruise down Valencia, you see the little sign outside, take a cruise around the back there, a little bit stealth, great little store, awesome group of guys. They offer free classes, one-on-one help with grow rooms, price match guarantee, not to mention Growers House staff or experienced growers, and they can help you get started and succeeding in all your growing endeavors. We would also like to thank the folks, the wonderful folks, Brenda, Steve, and company at AV Med Testing, who help make sure that all our medicine is safe and free of bad things. AZ Med Testing offers medical marijuana testing in Arizona to ensure medicine is safe and effective in treating patients. Through scientific methodology, they extract the cannabinoid percentages from the medicine and provide analytical reporting for each cannabinoid characteristic. Now I need my tea. And you can actually check out those results at Tumbleweeds Health Center when you come for Meducation Hours. They have those results printed out. You can check them out. You can see what THC, CBD, CBN levels are in the meds. AZ Med Testing tests for things like alien matter study, cannabinoid surveys. They do a microbiological evaluation, moisture presence analysis, and they make sure that it is pest and fungus free. which is a beautiful thing. You don't want that going on.
No fungus.
No. There's a great little resource guide called the Mary Jane Survival Guide, and you can find that here also at Tumbleweeds Health Center. It's free, and it's a medical marijuana patient guide for anyone seeking MMJ information in the state of Arizona, or anywhere, actually. You can check it out online, mjsurvival.com. There's recipes, pictures, articles, clinics, clubs, and more. Dispensary information, now that there are a handful of dispensaries here in the state. Yay for that one, huh?
I know.
Yeah. And check it out, mjsurvival.com. And right now they are offering a subscription service special. So for $29.95 a year, you get 6 issues a year of the MJ Survival Guide. So you can have that delivered right to your home, probably.
It's a good way to support the cause and getting the information out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if that's the piece of news that we have going out right now, we need to give it some support.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a wonderful group of people, too, that started this magazine. They started it because they were looking for information, and they found little bits here, a little bit there, and then they started compiling things, and people liked what they started putting together, and pretty soon you have the Mary Jane Survival Guide, and it's great. There's a little section for you can keep track of what meds you're taking, how they affect you, the different strain types. The recipes are great. There's legal columns in there. Jeffrey Kaufman, Legal Advice, has been on our show a few times. He does articles I think I've seen him in just about every issue now. And we've read a few on air. So those are great.
Did you reviews of different dispensaries?
Check those out. I'm sure those are coming up too, the different reviews.
The different reviews.
You can find those all over the internet right now. Holy Toledo.
Well, it's nice coming from a reputable source.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't trust all that stuff that you read on the internet.
True. This is true. Well, welcome back, kid. We have a wonderful show and a wonderful guest tonight. We're very excited to chat with. And we've got, you know, some news, we've got a empathy book, we've got some great info. But why don't we start by saying hello to Kimberly?
Hi.
Hassa, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, I'm good. How are you?
Doing good.
Happy New Year.
Doing good.
Happy New Year. We made it through the Mayan calendar.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, December 21st.
The Mayan party was great.
Yeah. Yay. Everyone should have had one.
I heard that they just went back and added on to that one that it was messed up. So
they fixed the calendar?
They fixed the calendar.
Another party.
Yeah.
Well, I think we had you on last year. It's been almost a year since the show's been running. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we talked to you about SWAPA last year, and I know you're involved with a whole handful of things. And it's really nice because Kimberly's actually here in the studio, so we get to chat.
Yeah.
It's not like screaming through the cell phone. What? Wait.
Can you hear me now?
This is a real nice group sitting here having some coffee and tea. And, I have a million questions. I know you're very involved with SWAPA still, Southwest Arizona Patient Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And you created that when? Why don't you tell us a little bit for listeners who don't know much about
I created SWAPA after about a month after Prop 203 passed. I worked real hard to help get that passed and even carried signs on street corners. I've never done anything like that.
Wow.
About 55, I'm out there with my sign and became an advocate for the first time. So I started it because everybody was talking about dispensaries and business, but nobody was talking about patients.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole reason why I got involved with Prop 203 was about patients. And so I thought that was going to be, naive me, the topic of concern for everybody, but it seemed like the people I was talking to were more interested in trying to carve out their little niche. And so I started asking them, you know, what about patients? And they said, do something. Don't complain, do something. And they were right. I didn't, you know, need to complain. So I did. I sat down in my house and created SWAPA.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. And I did it based on pretty much people that, like my aunt that I helped to have a better, more compassionate death with cannabis. I did it for people like her, for people like my mother who had cancer. Those are the people that I wanted to outreach to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The patients. The ones that we should be focusing on.
Yes. And there's all kinds of levels of patients, too. There's
sure.
People that are very knowledgeable about cannabis. My goal was to reach out to the people that aren't.
Absolutely.
At all.
I think that's where reducing stigma really starts. Because
exactly.
Stigma, what reducing the fear of something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's really what you're doing. You're really giving an insight on what this plant really does.
Right.
That's amazing.
You know, and I always say, education, not misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way that we're going to get this turned around.
And that's what a lot of people are hearing right,
right.
now.
Right.
Absolutely.
Miscommunication.
Oh, there's so much of it.
Misinformation.
Yeah.
You listen to the news and, you know, people just tend to not open their minds enough.
Important. You know, they pull back and forth because sometimes they are for you. And then it's like if not enough people on the side are for them, it pulls.
Well, and they only give you a little bit of information. You know, they hide
mm-hmm.
things or they don't give you all the truth.
And the media isn't like the media when I was growing up when news people reported the news, not created the news.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now the news people try to create the news.
Mm-hmm.
And they are owned by... You know,
oh, huge industries.
Huge industries. And
yeah.
a lot of their advertising dollars comes from pharmaceutical
mm-hmm.
companies who stand to lose the most if we allow medical cannabis in this country. So, you know, it's not, you're not really getting news.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You're getting
what they want to do.
Advertising.
To hear. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Well, that's a whole nother
topic
of conversation
yes.
we can
so
go,
true.
Woo! Yeah. Well, speaking of news, lately in the news, they're trying to put, representatives trying to put the MMJ back on the ballot.
Right, right. It's called HGR 2003. It's from John Kavanaugh. He's the state representative, I think, for Fountain Hills.
Mm.
And he, along with, it used to be Keep Arizona Drug Free, but I think there's been a merger of late. And now it's called drugfreeaz.org.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, you know, filling the war chest, and they're going to try to repeal Prop 203.
So how do patients get active involved, and what do they do?
We all, the whole industry.
Everybody.
Everybody. Every patient, doctor,
mm-hmm.
everybody needs to get involved with this because we fought so hard and for so long for this. And if we don't get there and fight because... You know, I'm very shocked at some of the people that are sponsoring Keep Arizona
mm-hmm.
Drug Free AZ. Starbucks.
Oh.
By them.
Uh-oh.
Scottsdale Healthcare.
There go the lattes.
The Cardinals. You know, the list goes on and on. And so we as an industry have to, you know, we don't have to spend that kind of money. We have to speak out and speak up. And we all have to be involved, or we're
right.
going to lose our rights.
It's going to be ripped from our hands.
Oh, yeah.
From our hands. Absolutely.
And it hasn't even been placed in our hands yet.
Exactly. You know, and he's saying that it's a miserable failure. Well, it hasn't even got started yet. How could it be a miserable failure?
Well,
right.
This, and this being first I've heard of this, and of course, you're up to date a lot more on a lot of different things that are coming up. But what about the other way where Washington and Colorado are going?
You know, other people, and that's it. Here's the situation, you know, because of what's happening with Washington and Colorado, of course, the West Coast is gearing up to also put this on their ballot. So, you know, that is an issue that's coming up in 2014 as well.
Right.
As full legalization in the state of Arizona. And, you know, regardless of whether you're for it or not,
wow.
My thoughts have always been, and this came from Andrew Myers during, is, you know, regardless of what you think about the war on cannabis, we need to get the patients off the battlefield. And so regardless of whether you're for full legalization or medical cannabis, the situation is the patients need to be taken care of.
That's bottom line.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
And that's not what's happening. Everybody's fighting, and they're not remembering the patients.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
It is sad because, you know, I don't know, but I see a lot of very sick people.
Yeah.
And when I hear from John Kavanaugh saying that, you know, or Dr. Grofik, who is, I don't have words for him, he, you know, says it's a miserable failure. It's being
family
not
show.
Used by patients. It's being used for recreation use. There is no factual information. He's making things up out of the air, but he gets sound bites all over the news.
Don't tell us what you do on your spare time.
Well, yeah, and, you know, he's got a financial interest in, mm-hmm. you know, people being mm-hmm. treated for medical cannabis. I bet you that's a big part of his client base.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he's got, you know, he's not in it for altruistic reasons.
Right.
It's financial for him, too.
Well, and that's the sad part is
it
that
is really sad.
It's mostly
it is.
Financial for
it
most
is financial.
People, you know, mm-hmm. and the patients, like you say, are lacking,
are
suffering,
and are losing out.
Yeah. You know, there's this, you know, can't have hash, can't have tinctures, can't have edibles, can't do this. Well, can you tell us what we can do so that we can heal the people
well,
that need it? You know,
the law clearly states that you can have that. The Arizona Medical Marijuana Act specifically says that that you can make extractions.
Right. Using
extractions. And I saw on Humble's blog not too long ago his definition. I didn't quite understand it, and I do want to respond to it because it almost sounded like, well, it's illegal unless you're a dispensary. And nowhere in the law does it say that. It doesn't say that only dispensaries can do that. So I didn't quite understand what he was talking about, and his response to me was, didn't answer any questions.
Right.
Maybe clear anything up.
Right,
you
raise more.
Yeah, it does. It's almost like, well, it's only dispensaries could do extractions. It's only legal. It doesn't say that in the law. You can't change the law.
Right. Well, they try and do a lot of things.
You start taking stuff out you don't
very
like.
Plain, and it doesn't qualify it by saying that a patient can't do it or only a dispensary can do it.
Right.
The patient, the whole plant belongs to the patient. They
sometimes you feel like you're
with
playing with the mean kid on the block, you know?
Huh?
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
You don't get to do that just because your parents didn't train you right.
Not my fault.
Not my fault.
Play fair. So for patients, for anybody that wants to get political, that wants to help support this cause, you know, there are a lot of things you can donate to for many organizations. Where can they go? Is there a website? Are there emails? Who can they contact? How do we get people? Do we sign petitions?
That's what we need to do. We need to organize the patient advocates, and that's one of the things that I'm attempting to do. I'm a member and sit on the board of directors for the Arizona Wellness Chamber of Commerce.
All right, tell us about that.
Professionals who are trying to promote Arizona cannabis on behalf of patients, and part of that is to advocate for patients.
Excellent.
And I am the Vice President of Advocacy for the Chamber, and I'm hoping to get people such as yourself who are patient-based to organize and get these patients organized and what they can do. One of the things we're trying to do is implement a voluntary program in the dispensaries where they can make points or whatever for doing advocacy work. And in return for that, you know, they... somehow those points will be with dispensaries. And so, you know, we're trying to advocate within, you know, get patients to see, you know, where they can help.
Sure.
Because everybody can help.
Yes, they can.
Everybody.
Yes, everybody
can write a letter.
A skill, right?
You can get on the computer. You can make a phone call.
You can pass out flyers.
Yeah.
You can do all sorts of stuff.
It's easy. Yeah. You can email a couple friends.
Yeah.
Right.
Put it on your Facebook.
Get on the phone.
Yeah.
You don't even have to leave your house. Get on
a lot of patients don't have, a lot of patients I deal with, they don't have computers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't
call
have
friend.
Facebook.
Yeah.
But they do have a telephone.
That's right. Some sort of way of communicating because communication is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because you tell, you know, it's a whole ripple effect. You tell, you know, you start talking, you know, educating people and they're going to educate someone. Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know THC is actually good for anxiety. I didn't know it actually helps.
Right.
With nerve damage. I didn't know it helps with inflammation and pain. I just thought I got you high.
Or sleep.
No,
or
but educate yourself enough to find out that there's so many benefits to this plant, this natural plant that
it can be
people
used
don't
so
know
many,
about.
Used so many different ways.
Well,
it
we won't use yeast.
Digested so many different
fiber,
ways.
Fiber, the hemp
we
oil.
We have a cannabis 101 class, and I do that for free for anybody that, you know, I do classes about twice a month. And we want to go more out to the community and go to some of the retirement
areas.
Go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Go to some of the support groups for cancer and so forth. And talk to people and tell them, you know, the history of medical cannabis. You know, we kind of go through it. You know, this is the different strains. Just educating them on cannabis and getting rid of all that misinformation and what I call the reefer madness mentality.
I was
going
to say that, yes. Got to let that go.
It's very difficult because they've been fed for so long, you know, that cannabis is bad. And you know, the group that we need to outreach to the most are the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that take the most pharmaceuticals, and they're the ones that could benefit the most from cannabis.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And they're the least represented of our patient base.
Right. Well, in fact, you, if you know about Robert Platshorn,
yes.
He's on a mission now with the elderly. He's
Silver
got
tour.
The Silver Tour. If you go Google this right now, should grandma smoke pot? Yes, in fact. But
absolutely.
There's a great video. Check it out. Robert's become a good friend of ours mm-hmm. here in Tucson with everybody. He's just a wonderful person. If you remember Ginnitu Knives,
yeah. Yeah.
You remember Robert. He's done a lot for the community. He's a great guy, and he's reached a lot of seniors. And what he's saying is that they were uneducated. They didn't
mm-hmm.
know. They were basing their opinions on information they had heard from either Reefer Madness movie or information from the government. And they're watching this video and learning about this plant and things that they can do to help relieve their pain without having so many, you know, problems with their system, with their kidneys and their liver and things that, you know, a lot
right.
of Western meds
exactly.
can cause, you know. So, it's a very important group to reach. And
right.
I'm glad that people are out there doing that. Fantastic. So with the Arizona Wellness Chamber of Commerce, are they all over Arizona? Is that
yes,
statewide?
Right now we have three regions that have active chambers, Phoenix, Tucson, and Flagstaff.
All right.
We are looking at, we have interest in opening it, but anybody throughout the state can come to any one of our meetings and join any one of our regional chambers.
And how much is there a fee
for,
to?
Yes, for a business, it's $250 per year. Companies, satellite companies, or supportive
mm-hmm.
Industries, it's $100. And for personal, it's $50.
Oh, that's fantastic. You can join all different levels.
Right.
Oh, that's
all different
great.
Levels. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's wonderful because, like you were saying, everybody can help
yes.
on all
mm-hmm.
the different levels.
Right.
That's wonderful.
And for some of those people out there, do you guys have a Facebook page or anything
yes,
like that?
Yes, we do. And, you know, people can contact me. And, you know, we are setting up support advocacy group to help with this HPR 2003.
Oh, great.
Some of the other things are coming down the road. You know, we as patients need to speak out more, be a little bit more organized.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. What's the website that they can contact?
It's www.swapa.org.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, check that out. Stay tuned to that. In fact, speaking of patients and such, we have this Tumbleweed Sales Center just got this great movie in, Code of the West. I'm going to read a little bit about this film by Rebecca Richmond Cohen. Did I say
mm-hmm.
that right? At a time when the country is rethinking its drug policies, large and small, one state rises to the forefront of national attention. Once a pioneer in legalizing medical marijuana, the state of Montana is poised to become the first in the nation to repeal its medical marijuana law. Set against the sweeping vistas of the Rockies, the steamy lamplight of marijuana grow houses, and the bustling halls of the state capitol, Code of the West follows the 2011 Montana State Legislature as it debates the fate of medical marijuana. This is a story of the many lives and fraught emotions tied to one of the most heated policy questions facing the country today. This is excellent. And actually, there's a peace festival coming up in February, the end of February, the 23rd, I believe. Many people are going to be out there, and actually they're going to show, I believe, the Code of the West. The Loft is going to,
yes.
we think they're
yes.
going to donate their theater to show Code of the West. You should all come down and see that. It's definitely a must-see.
When we firm that up, we can give you information that you can announce over the radio.
Absolutely, and we'll keep doing that.
Yes.
That's just awesome, and that's just one way you can help is to go see these movies
yeah.
and get educated.
It's a cautionary tale of what can happen when you turn on when the industry turns on itself, and
mm-hmm.
that's the whole reason why the chamber was so important.
Yes,
because,
absolutely.
You know, it is true. United we stand, divided you fall.
Mm-hmm.
And if
right.
you think you're going to go out there in this industry and be successful on your own, you're not.
Right.
No.
No.
No,
you can start sharing with everyone.
You gotta share.
And support each other. You know,
right.
It is.
Because if we don't all play together, we're not going to have anything at all.
Exactly.
And if you don't remember the patients, then you're going to forget why you're even doing it.
Exactly.
And you've got to have them as the focus. That's got, at the end of the day, what did we do for the patients today?
Mm-hmm.
How
did
we help them? Who did we help? And
yeah.
how can we help them better tomorrow?
Exactly.
You know, what can we do? So, yeah, education is just the best thing that there is. So let me ask you about the dispensaries. Are you a patient?
Yes, I am.
Have you been to the dispensaries? I believe there are two now.
No, I have not yet.
No, not yet?
No.
Okay.
I plan on going. I just...
been busy out there.
Yeah, a little bit busy with the holidays and so
yeah.
forth. And, you know, I know that you... one of them just opened on the 1st of January, and the other one opened earlier.
Just as, yeah, but they were taking a...
Appointment only.
Yeah, appointment only. Is that
yeah,
one?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
the other one you can walk in,
yeah.
I believe. Yeah. Do you know how many they're supposed to open in Tucson? All the, you
well,
know?
All together they were supposed to, you know, 98 Charles were, certificates were handed out. Now, today they came out with a report that out of that 98, only 57 are going to open.
Really?
Yeah. Now, out of that 98 that they chose, we were supposed to have 126. So they still have to allot those
now, did they say why only 57 out of 98?
A myriad of things. You know, not enough financing, their lease on the building.
Right.
You know, landlords are scared. You know, there's lots of
people are just afraid to even.
You know, partnerships disintegrating or not being able to, you know.
It's been a long process.
It's been
people
a long process
been,
and a very costly process.
Yeah. Really hurting the process along the way. I don't,
people,
don't blame
like,
them.
You know, printing out the rights and showing the landlord that it's okay, you know, and actually educating the landlords. Then.
Right.
Because there we go.
Yeah.
We're with fear again. Their fear is not wanting to rent to these what they think might be bad people.
Right.
Or, I mean, some people are really out there to try to get this out there. But, you know, we're still having that stigma again.
Yeah. Do you know how the dispensaries are running out there? Like, there are a couple here and a couple up in Phoenix and one is open in Williams. Are they all run the same way? Do you know?
Well, they all have to run on the same rules and regulations, but no, I don't think they're all being run the same way at all.
Okay.
Some of them, I think it's, you know, run where you come in, you see the big jars, and some of them are using the med boxes. You know, some of them are...
Individual
cases. Yes, yes. So.
How do you feel about the inconsistency there?
You know, I think like any kind of business, you know, you've got the individuals who are going to run the business
the way that
they best for their patient base.
Sure.
Hopefully.
That's true.
One of the things that's been an issue is patients have called, and I did an interview last week with KBOA regarding crisis.
Mm.
And patients, you know, I have a patient who cannot drive. He gets only uses handicapped transportation. He lives way out near Three Points. And he's about a 40-minute drive, I guess, from the nearest dispensary. But the way they're measuring is by as the crow flies.
Yeah.
So he's within 25 miles within you know, the crow flies of a dispensary.
Right.
But the reality is it takes him 80-mile round trip to get to and from his medicine.
Oh, man.
It's awful.
It is awful.
And with someone who's
and not fair.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be driving.
No,
really.
He can't drive.
Well, right.
Yeah, he can't drive. You know, so...
And no one can come pick up his medicine but him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
because
everyone
gets one card. Unless you... Yeah, unless you have a caregiver outside of that.
It's been an issue, and one of the things that SWAPA is looking at doing and working with other groups to do this is create a compassionate pricing program for patients who are indigent or collecting food stamps. Or, you know, we're trying to set down the criteria, and we want to do this for patients and for dispensaries so that and it's a complete voluntary program,
sure.
But, you know, we will let patients know who is volunteering for the compassionate pricing program, and they can go there and get meds at a discounted price.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's important.
Yeah, because the situation is if patients can't afford it, you're forcing them
if they can't grow
and you know you're forcing them into a really bad situation.
Oh, really bad.
Either their health or that you make them criminals.
Right.
Right.
And what, and they would, the qualifications for the program are?
Well, we haven't set that
okay.
yet. And what I'm trying to do is gather patient advocates
okay.
That can help me set this criteria
mm-hmm.
and help me set up this program. I have talked
you
to
you need some helpers.
I need helpers. I need
people. Little elves.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent.
And, you know, I'm hoping to, because SWAPA surely can't serve all the patients in Tucson, so I'm hoping
sure.
other patient advocacy groups like yourself will be able to provide cards for these patients who qualify. And the dispensaries really aren't geared or for that type of thing.
Right.
So as a patient advocate, if I give them that card, all we have to do is go into any dispensary and show that card. And they'll know that patient has been qualified as for the compassionate person.
Excellent.
Program.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
So,
yeah. It's sad that they took and are taking away patients' rights as well. Because
well, see, that's the issue. They're never going to put that rabbit back in the hat. It's not what happened.
It's out.
It's out. And Jan Brewer, by trying to stop the dispensaries, created a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's trying to slay the monster, and it's not going to happen. So, you know, a lot of patients are going to continue to get their medicine, and they're allowed to until their card expires.
Right.
So, and a lot
yep.
of patients don't really realize that. They think a dispensary's open.
I can't grow. Right.
Or I can't
no,
get,
they can.
Get my caregiver. That's not true. Until your card renews,
mm-hmm.
you can still access your medicine the way you have been.
Absolutely.
So mm-hmm. you're not forced to a dispensary.
Yet.
Yet.
Yet. Mm-hmm. So with the 57... is there going to be another lotto for the rest? Do you know?
There has to be by law. And that's part of the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act is that there were, I think it's gone to 126 now.
Oh.
But you're allowed one dispensary for every 10 pharmacies.
Hmm.
So for every 10 pharmacies in the state, you can have one dispensary. It was at 125, and I think it's up to 126 now.
Interesting.
So they have to allot those. They have only done 98. We were thinking 60 to 67 would open, but
right.
it looks like that's been lowered to probably about 57 of the 98 that have already been awarded certificates are going to open.
Mostly Phoenix?
You know, a lot of rural areas.
Really?
Yes. It seems like the rural areas are able to
get it passed a little bit faster. No one's really there to.
Well, I mean, you know, they've worked, a lot of people worked very hard with the community, with city councils and so forth to get this done. It's not easy for anybody to do this.
No.
But
when it's small, in a smaller town, yeah.
Well, with a smaller town. And people, you know, people in a smaller town, they understand the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's a big thing. I mean, these towns are dying on the vine.
Yeah.
And, you know, what they're doing is simply allowing a state law. And you know, to go forth.
Right.
So they're working with these people to try to help them. Now we have a very different situation in Pima County and in Tucson. Of course, it's very extremely strict. I think we're probably the strictest in the state on some things like the grow facilities and so forth.
Hmm.
So you know, they're not been very business friendly here.
Which is sad.
It is sad. It's sad, and it's, you know, they were allowed to place reasonable zoning, and, you know, that's the key word. It says right in the law they're allowed to make reasonable zoning.
Hmm.
Some of the stuff that's happened in Tucson and Pima County is not anywhere near reasonable.
Hmm.
So,
right.
You know.
Yeah, we've heard of a lot of stories of the hassle. Unbelievable.
It's horrible.
Oh,
and, you know, one of the things that's so silly, because they make all these zoning regulations and all this stuff about children. I'm a mother. And when politicians start talking about the children, I know right away they're trying to bamboozle me. Because they talk about the children, and then our school system is a failure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's
well,
just
how many
soundbite that they love to talk about.
They do, and it throws people off.
And people are like, oh, yes, you know, I'm a mother. I have children. But I don't think that what they're doing is for the best interest.
Closing the school.
The simple thing that they could do is have all this zoning at 1,000 feet from a school and don't have any marijuana leaves visible from outside.
Mm-hmm.
Then no kid knows. My daughter grew up right across the, she went to the daycare right across the street from Walgreens. Not once in her lifetime did she ever walk out of that daycare and say, ooh, OxyContin.
Mm-hmm.
Twinkies. That's right. It was never about OxyContin drugs. And kids don't, they're not going to look at a building, especially if there's no marijuana signs of it. You don't have to have all this crazy zoning.
Let's be discreet. And some of the parents.
Right.
You know, unless they make it a big, huge issue.
They don't know. They don't look at a bar and say, oh, alcohol.
And then let them do their own research and know about what's really going on.
Right. And I know that's
the
thing now with Google and Facebook and everything else. This generation, you can't bamboozle them.
No, not at all.
Like our grandparents were.
Yeah.
Faster you can finish your sentence.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I try to tell people when they come out with these terrible reports.
Mm-hmm.
We can fact check that stuff faster than we can put it out.
That's right.
So don't start with the reefer madness because we know and people are getting smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they do that all
the
time.
We have to disseminate that.
That's right.
I think more users of cannabis are coming out more.
Absolutely.
It's good.
Yes.
I know movie stars are
Henry Collins just came out as an advocate, musician.
Right.
Montel Williams, who still has his own show, but has his own dispensary in Sacramento.
Oh.
Yeah, he opened it 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
He's had been using cannabis for 10 years.
Washington, D.C.
Oh, absolutely, it's very political.
Mm-hmm. Lots of dispensaries.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's wonderful. See, and that's great. That's sharing the love that you were talking about, kid.
Yeah.
Which is sharing the information and sharing, the support. Yeah, we've got to support each other. Yeah, that's great, though. Mm-hmm. Because more people like that come out, celebrities that people have a lot of respect for, that know are intelligent, Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
There's the whole list goes on and on of people that have used, that still use.
Mm-hmm. The medical field is, that's been a real issue now.
Joe Rogan.
Absolutely.
I don't know Joe Rogan, but
he's one of the judges for UFC. He also used to be the host of Fear Factor.
Okay.
Host for Fear Factor. Yep. The list goes on. I mean, our founding forefathers.
Yeah.
Come on, people. They made the country here.
That's the medical field too is really getting on board. And
Dr. Wild.
One of the things they've been trying to do is
Dr. Wild
the AMMA. Or the AMA, and they don't want to be in this fight, and the government keeps trying to put them in the middle, and everybody keeps trying, and they said they just want full legalization. That's pretty much their stand.
Right.
You know, people don't realize that the AMA was the only group that showed up during in the 1930s when they made cannabis illegal and spoke for cannabis.
Mm.
The only
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
That is huge.
See, and that kind of information people need to know about.
Yeah.
Really. Because it's only been since 1937 since we have not been able to use this as a medicine.
Right. And before then, it was like aspirin in our home now.
Prescribed in
babies.
Yep. Horses.
Mothers. Horses. Dogs.
Queens.
Queens. Yeah.
Queens and their menstrual cramps. Come on. It's a long time medicinal use, spiritual use, recreational use, you name it. I mean, the list goes on. It's a very powerful plant, and we're really happy that, we have wonderful people like you that are speaking out for this and are brave enough to do so. I mean, really, it's not an easy task to put yourself out there, when the media says this is a bad thing or you shouldn't do this. Thank you for being brave.
And, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. We're honored to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a little bit of time left. We'll still chit-chat with Kimberly here. We're going to make her stick around. We might make her read Hempathy.
Really? Yeah. I'm excited to see what it is. I haven't gotten to see the last two.
Yeah, it's been a little while. And, this movie, Code of the West, is down here at Tumbleweeds. You can come check it out when you get certified or recertified, when you come for Meducation hours. Great place. They've got every week now. Our canon nurse, Mary D. R.N., if the website is correct now.
Canon nurse.
She's speaking every Friday about the different ailments that the state of Arizona has approved. In fact, let's see, this Friday, what is going on?
I think it's Hep C.
I think it's Hep C. Ooh, we hear.
That's a nice one.
Yeah.
When is that?
Yeah.
That's going to be
Friday.
Friday night?
Hospice, yeah. Yeah. So Friday night, every Friday. She's wonderful, very sweet-natured. Come and chat and listen to what...
A lot of Hep C patients, and something that's happening here in Arizona, especially in Tucson, that's just devastating to me, is I've had several calls from patients who have Hep C, who have been told if they test positive for cannabis, they are pulling them off the transplant, and they're done.
Yeah.
And I've had two patients who have had been completely pulled off their opiate.
We need to put some information into their hands to where that's illegal. That's
well, there's actually...
The pain doctors are all doing it, and they're using the excuse about getting federal funds to ignore state law.
Well, there's a saying, doctors can't discriminate now.
They are.
Well, but we have this law now. Yeah. I wish I could find my little piece of paper that has the actual
ARS.
Yeah, ARS thing written out on it. It says that doctors can't discriminate.
Oh, I just had a funny thing with what's going on right here. We're talking about, you know, cannabis killing people and people being taken off the thing of hepatitis. But what's really important is that they need to start stepping up and saying if they're choosing this medication, because the interferon is what they use when they're, you know, injecting. It's very, very bad. I mean, it's liquid radiation. I mean, that's pretty much what it just kills the body. And if they're choosing to use a plant-based medicine, I don't even get that.
Well,
that's something that's actually
medication helps them to take these medications.
Right.
And what's so sad is, you know, a doctor's first part of the is to do no harm.
Mm-hmm.
And by denying patients, by using the excuse that they're getting federal funds, well, every doctor in the country gets federal funds. Everybody. That's no excuse to ignore state law. And they're using that, and they're letting patients suffer. And by using cannabis, I see a lot of patients that need serious intervention with their opiates.
Mm.
They are addicted.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Even talk to their doctors about
because of that, right.
But cannabis, and I have so many patients that come to me and say, I have cut my opiates in half.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pain free. I used to take 8 to 10. Now I'm taking 3 to 4 a day.
Right.
It helps them cut back on the opiate. And that's why I'm getting
gives their body a huge break.
Again.
Absolutely.
And you know, this is empirical evidence that you can get anywhere.
Once that doctor tells them that he or she's gonna take them off of their opiates if they don't stop medical cannabis, it puts a big stress on them already.
No, so it does. And, you know, it's an illegal act that they're doing. And I have a patient who's an elderly man. He's a vet, a Vietnam vet. They pulled him off cold turkey, everything. And he's called me twice, and he's told me that he seriously considered suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can be deadly.
It can be deadly.
Yeah.
And it was cold turkey.
We read it last week's show. We actually had that statute, and we read it on air. I apologize. I can't find that piece of paper now. But if you listen last week's show, it is read verbatim. Doctors cannot discriminate. It's sad because we've seen patients, you know, here that, as soon as the doctor finds out, they stop all medication.
It's like illegal.
And cut them. Well, illegal and dangerous.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That's
very dangerous.
That's beyond dangerous. That's just... And how morally somebody could do that,
exactly.
Like, I don't know,
you know,
which
I
is the problem.
I have said to their patients, we don't want to do this, but because we work for this group, we are forced to do this.
Yeah. And
But, you know, they're not forced to test.
Right.
If they know.
Right. Right. Well, and it's just, you know, really, I don't know. It's
supposed to be random testing, but I know several patients that came in to me and said, there's nothing random about this testing. I've been tested 5 times out of my last 10 visits. That's not random.
Yeah, no, that's not random at all. And that's illegal, too.
Yeah.
You know, and there has to be education in the workplace and all the way around, even with the police departments, you know, to know what you can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people don't know. And some people are taking full advantage of this and mistreating it and abusing it
to try and use it to get people out of their lives they may not want in their business and such.
Today, Patrick Kennedy of the Kennedy Clan launched his anti-marijuana program. It's called SAM. And it's,
we're going to ask you about that. I didn't know he did that.
Safe approach to marijuana. And it's forcing, it would force, what it would do is force any marijuana user into mandatory treatment, addiction treatment.
Oh,
now, this comes from somebody who is an OxyContin addict, an alcoholic.
Wow.
Is Kennedy, the Kennedy...
Hot.
Hey, kettle,
kettleback.
Hey,
pop.
By selling liquor to the mafia during Prohibition.
He's probably from selling liquor to minors, too.
This is the person that's
just
launched
kidding.
This. So, I mean, this is very dangerous stuff.
Yeah. It is dangerous.
Yeah.
And
even,
you get these kinds of power behind this. Yeah. And that kind of name behind something like that.
Yes.
That's a lot of trouble there.
I just find it so ironic when, you know, they were the drug cartel back in Prohibition.
Mm.
The Kennedys were. I mean, they didn't have any money. They were poor.
Mm.
And he started bootlegging. Joseph Kennedy started bootlegging and selling to Al Capone. He was, affiliated with Al Capone and selling alcohol.
Wow.
And that's how they became millionaires.
Wow.
Well, there's
some
history.
They bought respectability, you know.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Got enough
and
money.
And how soon they forget. Now he's trying to...
Huh.
Yeah, that's...
Interesting.
Wrong and sad. Again, a financial...
Yeah.
It's not a financial gain for people, which is a sad thing. You know, our federal government grows cannabis and has been doing so for over 30 years. The students at the medical, at the University of Mississippi.
And they also have a patent on cannabinoids.
They sure do.
They've had for over 10 years.
They sure do. Mm-hmm. And they know. I mean, why else would you patent something?
It says specifically in this patent. That's why I find it so funny. And it's like, how do they get by with this? Because in the patent, it says cannabinoids have been found to have medical value.
Right.
Yet, as a Schedule 1 thing, it has no medical value, then why do you have a patent on it?
Right.
That specifically states that it has medical value.
Hi, Pot.
I know. it sounds like this keeps on going back and forth.
It is. It's a sad circle, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a great book down here at Tumbleweeds called My Medicine by a good friend, Irvin Rosenfeld, who is a federal patient who's been receiving this medicine. And it keeps him alive and has been doing so for over, 30 years. He started out on a program where there were, many people asking our government to help them because other medicines and other ways of therapies, methods were not. Government took a look at it, patented things, realized it was helpful, started growing, doing their own research. Mm-hmm. They still grow. They still do their own research. They still know it's beneficial. And every month, this gentleman, Irvin Rosenfeld, look it up. He receives 300 medical cigarettes in a tin. You can actually see one of the tins down at Tumbleweeds Health Center. No medical cigarettes in there. But he receives them actually every 25 days now. He goes down to his local pharmacy and picks them up. Homegrown from your government, folks.
Yeah, and if it was so dangerous, he'd have been dead a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. And this is someone that didn't believe in it.
320 cigarettes a month.
No,
95% of patients couldn't do that.
Not at all. And you should really read his story. Someone that didn't believe it at all, had a life-changing experience. And,
he's a great guy.
You got to get educated, folks. You can't believe everything you hear. What was that saying? None of what you read and half of what you see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My mom used to say. Something. Don't believe it. Just get educated.
Obama said that he wasn't going to be, we have bigger fish to fry is what he said, right?
And he just repeated that. He
just said it again.
Last week and tonight, there was a call to action. Three dispensaries in California were being raided by the DEA.
Come on. I know.
I don't know anything about them, but I know that one of them has been around for a very long time. It's very well respected.
Get on there. Stand down.
Oh, my God.
What's that?
I don't know. We have a medical question, actually, a patient out there over the airs. Someone wants to know if cannabis helps with muscle spasms.
Absolutely. That's why MS is one of the qualifying conditions, because people with cerebral palsy have had a lot of help with that. And, you know, Mary could probably speak to that a little bit more, but absolutely.
And they're looking to add Parkinson's, I just heard. They're looking to add Parkinson's to that list of approved ailments as well.
A lot of patients with Parkinson's have said it helps them tremendously with the trembling.
And the tremors, right?
The tremors.
Spasticity.
Spinal cord injuries.
One of the ladies on Should Grandma Smoke?
Should Grandma Smoke Pot?
She talked about her tremors
a little bit.
So if you're wanting to hear firsthand experience from...
There's a movie also that has... patients, and it shows them how their body, and especially in their body, and then they take a couple of puffs, and how it calms down, and they're able to talk and communicate.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name
of the
movie.
I think it's the union.
I saw that.
It's the union. He had seizures.
He would stutter a lot.
Yes.
And as soon as he actually, I think
vaporized.
He had a vaporized. Yeah, he vaporized it.
Yep.
And it was amazing.
The second he could talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Union. Yeah. You can check that out. That's a great show.
Yeah.
Speaking of great things, we have a great, great book. We have a few minutes left here. We have a great book. It addresses a lot of these issues. It's called Empathy, Food for Thought. This is our second time reading it. And hopefully we keep threatening to contact the author here. Maybe they'll listen in and contact us before we get to them. Check it out if you're online, why-whynot.net. It's called Empathy, Food for Thought. It's an attempt to show at a glance the illogical distinction between what is socially and legally accepted, the why, and what is forbidden, the why not. Scientists and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about how cannabis exerts its beneficial effects. We need to publicize their findings in an unbiased way to the widest possible audience. We need to stop the obstruction of research and the criminalization of a useful plant. Like cannabis, the information is meant to be shared. Why-whynot.net.
Share it.
Okay, so why? So we like to describe these pictures, pretty or not. We've got a bunch of veterans. It says why, over-medicated veterans. Why would you do that? There's a bunch of veterans standing in line here. Check this out, kids. And they look horrible. There's one guy with a headache so bad he's holding his head.
That guy doesn't have any legs.
Yeah, one guy doesn't have legs.
He's an amputee.
And they're walking up to this, looks like an ice chest with a cross on it full of just pills. And they've got a nasty nurse and a mean doctor.
Pills are falling on the floor.
And then the poster in the back is, I want you to take pills. Oh, it's bad. It's just bad. Oh, my gosh.
Uncle
and I
Sam.
Just noticed the flag in the back instead of the stars.
It's pills.
Holy Toledo. You guys have to.
Look at that fun one. I get to.
Yeah. Kid wants to read the nice one. All right. Unless you would like to read any of this. Okay. Over-medicated veterans. Post-traumatic stress disorder. PTSD is one of the unseen wounds of combat. PTSD can drive veterans and other victims of violence to attempt suicide. In the U.S., a veteran commits suicide every 80 minutes, according to the Veterans Affairs Department. In 2009, there were 1,858 suicide attempts by vets who had served in Iraq and or Afghanistan and were seeking help through the VA. Only 30% of vets used VA services, so the total was close to 5,000. The suicide epidemic shows the ineffectiveness of the drugs being prescribed for PTSD. SSRIs and older antidepressants, anticonvulsants, atypical antipsychotics, etc. These drugs all can have serious adverse side effects. Most psychiatrists, when told by patients that a prescribed drug is not working, will raise the dose and or prescribe additional drugs, increasing the likelihood of the side effects.
Interesting.
Whew. Wow, that is awful. Oh, my gosh. And
you know we have opiate receptacles in the brain as well as cannabinoid receptacles.
Mm-hmm.
So getting on the right balance, some people need that right balance of the opiates, but in small amounts. And what we're giving out, what doctors are prescribing is way, way over They're over-medicating,
right?
They're over-medicating.
Yeah. It's bad. Bad news.
You can never just have just a little bit. It's always got to be
bigger, more.
More. I need it.
Supersize
all of it.
It.
Supersize it.
Now.
Yeah. Supersize my meds.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's
supersize
mine.
Our
That's
cannabis
mine.
Plants. That would be okay.
So the why not?
Why not?
I got the fun side, and it is the in the back of the United States flag, where the stars are at, is little cannabis leaves.
All right.
And all the vets are outside on a really nice day, and they're really having a good time. The one guy with the hook leg, he's passing a joint to his friend who's on crutches, who only has one leg. The guy that's the amputee.
They look happy.
Everyone looks happy. The
they
guy that's
really
the amputee
happy.
Is passing the bong to the guy with one eye.
No headache.
Match. Everyone's happy.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. They're mellow. There's no anxiety, no frustration that other patients.
Those meds aren't keeping them down.
It's true. And they're helping their bodies
what
heal.
What opiates do.
They're helping
they
their
keep
bodies.
Down.
Yeah.
And they're actually healing.
Our
because
kids.
They're out there communicating with people.
That's right.
Being with other people. Being out in the sun.
And letting the endocannabinoid system that we
actually
have
actually work instead of being suppressed.
That's right.
So, all right. So why not?
Why not?
Veterans access to medical marijuana. Todd, I can't even do the last
just
name.
Go. Todd M.
Todd M, MD, a pioneer psychotherapist who has mentioned cannabis use by more than 9,000 patients in California, reported in 2006 that 8% had a primary diagnosis of PTSD. He published a paper describing how cannabis eased their symptoms, the modulation of emotional repression relieves the flooding of negative effects. The skeletal and smooth muscle relaxation decreases agitation, fight-flight responses, and anger symptoms that significantly ameliorated. The fear of loss of control diminishes as episodes of aggression and feeling overwhelmed are less ended. Thinking is freed from the attachments to the past and permeated to a fix on the present and future. Instead of being transfixed by nightmares, the sufferer is freed to realize dreams based on both safety and efficiency. Sorry, cannabis should be considered first in the treatment for PTSD.
Excellent.
So I was just thinking, I saw a big thing on, I think it was a reality show, of people coming back from the war and being so disassociated
yeah.
with their wives and the wives with their husbands. And, you know, if they're saying, and people using this, now I haven't known anyone with PTSD that's using medical cannabis, but I'm sure you have.
Well, that's not one of the qualifying conditions, and that's what we tried to add the first time swap was.
But do you have? I mean, do you have anyone using it?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And how are? And it works.
It works. And you know, there's a lot of people that suffer from PTSD that aren't vets. So it covers not just veterans, but PTSD affects people from Aurora, people from Newtown,
people that are abused or sexually
all
abused.
The
I mean,
first responders. They also PTSD, and it absolutely helps with flashbacks.
If anything, if you've ever had a shock to the system, or the body, or
trauma.
It can raise up a lot of things. And people that might think that they don't have it at all might.
It comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Anger and aggression, and yeah.
Yeah.
So just really interesting, and that.
Yeah. Excellent.
So important.
Empathy, food for thought. Check it out. why-whynot.net. It's awesome. We are almost just about out of time, and we have a little disclaimer on the website. You know, we're going to always run over just a few minutes, so we got a couple things left to do and some announcements, and we'll go quickly just to get through them. But Kimberly, thank you so much for being here. It's been really, really awesome. Some upcoming events and trivia. We have yet to – we had one patient last year came in and answered a trivia question, but we're going to need a new one. So while you're finding, last year, I know, hello,
and we even
offered a double joint once, and forget,
there's some really amazing stuff.
Folks, this is free medicine out here. All you have to do is answer a trivia question, come down to Tumbleweeds during their Meducation hours, Thursday, Friday, 5 to 9 p.m., Saturday, noon to 4, and away we go. Let's do it. Go ahead. What do we have?
Philadelphia, the Philadelphian 76er star was busted with marijuana in 1997. The Philadelphian 76er star was busted with marijuana in 1997.
Okay, we have some guesses out there already. I don't
Philadelphian.
Know. Philadelphian. We need the Jeopardy. It's not on there.
You looked?
No, okay. I did. No.
Bell just got some really fun sound effects.
Yeah, we got some really fun things. Did it work? Oh, it don't even work. Oh, look.
There it is.
Sound effects, guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for the sound effects.
So if you have the answer to that.
Yeah, come down. Meducation hours. Mm-hmm. And give us an answer for a free joint, free medicine. Upcoming events, we have AZ for Normal. Saturday, if you want to know what's going on in the cannabis world, go down to the meeting. It's January 12th, second Saturday, 3 p.m. at the Ward 6 Council offices, 3202 East 1st Street. You enter at the back door, azfornormal.org for more information. It's free. Everyone is welcome. They are going to be at the Peace Fair along with Tumbleweeds Health Center, February 23rd. And come see Tumbleweeds Health Center new doctor, Julie Sharp, MD. She's here Thursday, Friday, 9 to 4. Just a wonderful, wonderful lady. And Tumbleweeds is having a festival of education, 420. It's much similar to the anniversary event last year. And lots going on. So anything else, kid, to wrap up what we've got going on for Weeds Day? Weeds Day Wednesday
I'm
next.
I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to get out there to that hemp thing on the...
Oh, I know. Had the hemp plant for Willie's birthday.
On Willie's birthday.
Yeah, Willie Nelson's birthday. They're planting hemp in Colorado for the first time. They're going to plant some crops.
100 acres.
Yeah, just a few
That's
crops.
Awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Isn't it crazy that you can buy it here? You can do everything. You can do anything with it.
Right.
You cannot...
So interesting.
Pretty sad.
United States is stupid.
Well, some people, let's say, because they had it a long time ago. Come get certified, $95 certifications at Tumbleweeds Health Center through January. Closing, we would like to thank Kimberly Haslett for joining us tonight. Yay, we'll do
Yay.
Our own Santa Fe. Yay.
We'd like to thank Dana and Kim, the owners.
Yeah, and we want to give a shout out to those in New York that are listening tonight. How do New Yorkers? Buffalo? Do they do that in Buffalo? They don't do that. Nah. Winter 77.
New Yorkers have an accent.
They do.
Yeah.
They have a lot going on over there in New York.
The East.
Thank you for listening out there.
Back Hi,
East.
Everyone.
Yeah. Howdy, folks. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for hosting our show. Growers House for helping us grow. AZ Med Testing for ensuring our meds are safe and good to use.
The guys over at Open Text. They're listening tonight.
Oh, hi. Hi, guys.
I've got a couple people in New Mexico that are listening, so I wanted to say thank you for listening
Yeah,
tonight.
We've got over 17,000 listeners.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. It's crazy awesome.
I got a Go Buffalo on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Go Buffalo. Mary Jane Survival Guide, don't forget about their special. You can sign up at $29.95 a year and get their guide sent right to your house. Next week, I think we have the dispensary owner from Williams, Arizona. They just opened. And, yeah, I think they're coming on next week. I'm not sure. It's been
awesome.
A whirlwind of guests. It's January.
People
things
are wanting on
happening
here.
And changing all the time.
The new year's got to bring – we're bringing in a lot of new guests, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Invite all your friends, folks. Thank you for joining us. Thank you. Remember,
be smart,
be safe, and educate. Thank you.
Good night, Woo-hoo. Guys. Should I get a...